Hello.
Hi, lady.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. I'm sorry we got cut out then.
I actually had to just download, read, like I had to delete the app and then re-download it because
oh, that's annoying.
It wouldn't let me, like it showed I was still recording and I wasn't because you were gone. So
yes.
I was like, what? So I was like, let me just delete the app because it wouldn't let me. It was weird. Anyways, yes. Mercury has gone retrograde, so that's my explanation. And I truly believe things just happen when they're supposed to. So, like,
yes,
the back and forth is fine with me. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's all good.
Yes. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I was just keen to speak to you. I thought, oh, next week will be Easter holidays and then Eid.
So you're mentioning Easter. So if you're Muslim, they still honor East. Like, I don't know. I guess you're just the tradition, maybe.
So my daughter goes to a British school, so I'm just calling it Easter break. But I think in America, you might call it spring break. Maybe, I'm not sure. Like, we call it Easter holiday.
Easter holiday.
That break. That two, like, we get 2 weeks normally in the UK, and it's for the Easter holiday. But you know, we call it Easter whether we celebrate Easter or not.
Yeah,
that's what we call it. We don't call it spring break, or I think that's what you guys call it.
In the US, we call it spring break, and it's like usually before Easter. So, for the Easter holiday, it might be maybe just like a long weekend. And then, like, I worked in healthcare, so there's five holidays you get time and a half for, meaning you get like your full pay plus half your pay on top of that. If you work certain holidays, and I believe Easter is one of them. It's like Christmas, Easter.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. And then there's like Memorial Day. I don't know. It's five of them. I could never remember them. But anyway, I always volunteered. I'm like, I will, because you have to work like one of those days. And so I always worked like I always worked Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. Yes. Oh, New Year's Day is the other one. So that way I can have Christmas and Easter off.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm calling it Easter, but obviously here in Saudi, you know, there's no like visual representation of it being Easter. Apart from in the compound, I think we're doing like an Easter egg hunt.
Right. Okay.
The school is celebrating a little bit. They're doing baskets. But obviously this year it also coincides with Eid, so the second week that the British school would be off normally anyway, I'm guessing, for 2 weeks for Easter, just like the British schools in the UK.
It's so interesting.
And this year it coincides with Eid, so we don't get an extra holiday for Eid. We're just getting, you know, the same holiday. But
it's really interesting to me because, like, for instance, like the Catholics do Lent, which is basically kind of like the Ramadan for Muslims. It's just super interesting.
They're all really similar. And so I was telling you before we got cut off that I converted, or reverted, as some Muslims call it, to Islam. And one of the big reasons was really the similarities, because the Quran actually mentions all of the stories from the Bible. It doesn't retell them. It just kind of like mentions back to them.
Yeah. And So does the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, a lot of this stuff I've grown up hearing.
Right.
And maybe there's something to this. Like, maybe this many, you know, billion people can't be wrong. So I kind of just looked into it. And then I met my husband, and he's a born Muslim. And I just started having talks with my friends as well who are Muslim. And yeah, so I converted, but we're converted in London. So now, you know, I never imagined that we'd end up living in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that must have been a big deal for you.
Yeah. In fact, my mom, I remember when I converted, she was like, just don't let your husband like force you to move to Saudi. And like, lo and behold, you know, 7 years later or 8 years later, here I am.
I know. This is so bad, but like, I always think of that movie, Not Without My Daughter, with Sally Field. And I know that's like a terrible representation of like Islam, but it makes you think sometimes, right? You're like, I had a friend who, she was my old nurse manager back in Houston, and she's Mexican, grew up Catholic, but was always very religious and could never really kind of get in line with her own Catholic faith. And so One of our coworkers, our nursing coworkers, she ended up marrying this guy, basically. His name was Muhammad. He was an immigrant, I think from, he was Iraqi. Yes. And he had immigrated to the U.S. and actually served in the military and everything. So, but I mean, he was a practicing Muslim. And so, anyway, so she ended up marrying him. And I said, whatever you do, don't let him take your passport. But it was so not like that, like at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And so, yeah, so I think she converted over. And anyways, but they have unfortunately since divorced, and I don't know what she's doing now.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really, yeah, it's really interesting. I never imagined we'd be here as a family, because I've been to Saudi Arabia before for Umrah, which is like the mini Hajj, it's like the mini pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go at any time, so I'd been here before, but I never could imagine myself living here, because you know, when I'd been to visit these places, they'd been really conservative, you know, religious sites. So I actually had never really seen many people who looked like me either. So I was kind of thinking like, okay, well, it's a good place, you know, to go to be spiritual. But I never thought that there would be a version of me that would live, you know, in the country.
Yeah.
But then, so my husband, we went for Umrah last year after we bought our first house. And I was desperately I was praying to have another child. So we had a few miscarriages after our first child. And I was desperately, you know, trying for another child. So I was praying for that. And then my husband, halfway through our journey in Saudi Arabia, he met a friend who had moved to Saudi, and he was telling him how much he can earn here. so my husband suddenly was like, hang on, let's start praying that I get a job here. And I was like, hang on, let's not. Like, we're praying for a baby. We've just bought a house.
Yeah.
So long story short is we both got what we wanted. I had my second child and we moved to Saudi.
Right. Yeah. It's a win-win. Yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of the premium they put on to our paycheck is because of, I don't even know if this is like politically correct, but like, it's a hardship. So that's how my husband describes it to me. He's like, we get this premium because it's a hardship for us to actually move here.
Well, I think it's also because there's a lot of people who wouldn't make that move, right? Like, right. I'm sure when you moved, I'm sure there was a load of people that were like, what? I would never do that. You're crazy.
We didn't tell anybody. We were like, I think our pastor thought we were crazy because they covered us in prayer and this and that. And like, of course, like there's the whole stigma of like Christian perspective versus like what they think it's like to be a Christian in the Middle East. And, and at this point, my walk has been so changed to, I even avoid calling myself a Christian at this point, just because I've just had so many changes in my own journey. So, but anyway, it's it's interesting. It's a wonderful time to be here over the 10 years we've been here for 10. So how long have you guys been here?
Well, we literally just moved in October, so we're
literally brand new.
You know, we're brand newbies. We haven't even been here a full year. It's only like, you know, 6 months, I think, or 7 months. So yeah, we're really new.
So you were in the UK? Oh, you were in London?
Yeah, we were living in London. Yeah,
you were born in London?
No, I was born in a place called Bristol in South South England,
okay.
And then I lived. But I grew up most of my life in Cornwall. So Cornwall is really rural. It's like,
oh, wow.
It's the surface capital of the UK. It's right in the south. It's really remote. It's really removed from everywhere. Aww. It's nothing like London.
Right. No, of course.
But I've been living in London for the last 10 years, and that's where I met my husband. And, you know, Cornwall, where I grew up, is not diverse at all. There's not much of a Muslim community. So we kind of knew that we would stay. Well, we thought we would stay in London because we had made like a really lovely group of friends there. We, you know, we were part of the community. So, yeah, I really did not want to move. My husband was really struggling though, because I wasn't working and we were having another baby and the bills were going up and up. I don't know if you know the politics of the UK.
Much different from the US. And I mean, that's the thing, right? Like from American standpoint, you know, things have been very similar in terms of like major inflation. But I was just going to mention, like, when you said 10 years in London, it'd be like, you know, because London could be equivalent to, like, New York City, correct? So, like, when I think of New York City, and so I'm going in my head, geez, 10 years in London, I mean, you're used to high prices, put it that way. You're used to higher prices.
And small accommodation and like rubbish lifestyle where you can't afford someone to come and clean your house with, you know, even if
you're... I'm just trying to empathize and be like, well, and you're still saying the inflation's insane. So it's just interesting, like, how people long and, like, dream and try and they put so much effort into either getting to the US or getting to big cities, right? Like London, like New York, where all the jobs are and the entrepreneurship is and this and that. But then at the same time, there's so many people running as far as they can away from that.
No, 100%. I've met quite a few people here. And before, I lived in China, actually, when I was 20, 22, 23.
Oh, my God.
And there was a lot of, I always become friends with everyone. So I talk to workers, I talk to people who are nannies, to maids, you know, and a lot of them are like saying to me, oh, I just would do anything to live in London. And I literally like always tell them, no, don't do it. Your quality of life won't be good.
Exactly.
You won't be able to save anything.
Exactly.
You'll be living in a possibly like a shared house with like six people where it's not, you know, there's damp on the walls, like. And the weather is also miserable. So
yes. You know, oh my God.
Yeah, I keep telling them like it's not the dream, guys.
Like, no, like at least in like LA where everything's just how you're describing, except at least in LA they have the sunshine.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's wild.
But yeah.
So what did you go to school for? Like who were you before mom and wife? Like do you have any
So I was a primary school teacher, which is what you would call like elementary school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for maybe I think 10 years before I had my first child. And then I really wanted to have a break really and raise her. And I kind of thought I'd be back to work by now, but it's taken us a bit longer to have a second child. So I will definitely go back to being a teacher at some point. Maybe here or maybe in the UK. But there are a lot of teachers here who are, you know, here on a wife visa. And so I don't think they're that desperate for teachers in Riyadh, to be honest, because from what I've heard, they would hire you just as a local. So I'm kind of thinking, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered.
I know. It puts you in a really weird, weird position. And it's very unique, specifically to just Saudi, man, because honestly, if any of us went and followed and you know, they call us trailing spouses, if we trailed if we trailed our spouse any other country,
we'd be snapped up.
That whole thing that whole thing is completely different. I think it's very unique to Saudi, the position we're put in as wives.
But you know, I'm not hating it. I was offered a job, but it was a peanuts job, and I have a 7, 8 month old child, so I was kind of like, do I really want to work? And I was like, well, actually, I don't have to work.
No.
And you know, maybe I'll just work when I'm ready. Like, obviously, it would be good to have a little bit of extra pocket money, but at what cost? Because I'm going to be exhausted, and like, at the end of the day, being a parent is pretty full time. But anyway,
oh God,
you know. So I was kind of thinking, let me just have a break and maybe I'll work, you know, in a few years' time. But I honestly, I find it quite, I don't know, maybe I'm just being naive, but I find it really offensive that my husband's salary is like, you know, probably 5-6 times more. And we have like similar levels of education. But just because I'm a teacher means that, you know, my work is going to be massively undervalued here, but also in the UK. Do you know what I mean? It's the same disparity.
Or that you're a female.
Yes.
So I just
feel like, well, you know what? I'm not going to work for peanuts.
Right. I hear you. Yeah.
But maybe I'll do tutoring one day. You know, people here they'll throw money at different classes.
I was just going to say, girl, absolutely. And that's your own pace. You take on as much as you want. It's not, you're not obligated to work this craziness that they have here. Where it's it's like some, like if I were to get a job as a nurse here, they expect you to work like 6 days a week. Like, excuse me?
Yeah.
No,
we're not doing that.
And like, there's no like part time or as needed. We're like in the US.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I would go part time if I was in the UK. For there sure. You go. There's no way I'd be working full time.
Exactly.
Right now. It's but like, I don't think that's a thing.
It's all or nothing here. It is so yeah. strange to me. Like they cannot. Yeah. There's
no flexibility.
Yeah, like there's certain things that are super flexible and gray, and then there's certain things where it's like all or nothing or very black and white too. And so it's like, where is the disconnect? Where is it? Yeah. Let's find it.
Definitely. And I'm not someone who can easily be bored. I mean, I've got two small children. It's kind of impossible anyway. But I also, I'm sure if, even if they, you know, were both in school, I would find ways to occupy my time.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm just dreaming of it now. You know, I've got a baby who hardly naps. So I'm like just dreaming of what would I actually be doing if I was completely unaccompanied during the day.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of mum friends on the compound here who, you know, their kids are in school for the day. And, you know, I'm quite envious, if I must.
Oh, yeah, it's a season. Everyone has their seasons. I mean, when I moved here, I took 4 years off. Because my girls, even though they were older, they were still quite young. They were in fourth and first grade. So I took off like 4 years. And after that 4 years, they were already in middle school. So I kind of started back about 4 years after living here and just being full-time wife and mom, which is the first time in our marriage I was ever able to do that because I was always... we always worked it out. We always worked it out where he would like work. He always worked corporate, right? Like 9 to 5. And I would work either like night shifts or weekends. So it wasn't like I was never home and because working all the time. I was doing my best to still be there for them, but also work.
It's an interesting, I mean, I was, to be honest, in London, I was also not working. So for me, that's not been any change at all. I stopped working 5 years ago when I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying to my husband how different my life would be back in the UK. And, you know, here, everything is so easy with kids. You know, we live on a compound where 2 minutes walk to a pool, you know, even less than that, probably.
Yeah.
And then there's a park and then there's an indoor soft play area. You know, everything here is so easy.
Kid friendly. Like,
in the UK, you know, we live, we have to walk up a massive flight of steps to get to our house. Oh. I mean, with a pushchair, I'm already thinking like in the summer, what am I, like, that's going to be me. But my life in the UK, you know, is very dependent on the weather as well at this time of the year when it's raining. There's really nothing, you know, open, or if it is open, it's really busy.
Wow.
So yeah, in lots of ways, like I'm just counting up my blessings that actually, like, my life is a lot easier this time round than it was with my first child, because everything here is just so close, the weather is so reliable.
I know.
And there's a ready built community here of mums, and my daughter's made loads of friends, I've made loads of friends.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, this is made not working so easy for me personally.
And it makes leaving hard.
Yeah, my husband actually came to me the other day and said, what would you say if I went back to London? I was working with Saudi, but from London, and I was actually genuinely a bit sad.
Yeah, thinking, you're like,
we just started this.
You're like, now I'm finally starting to settle in. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to London just yet. I mean, my plan is like, we will go back to the UK at one point, but not yet. I'm not ready to stop having a bit of an adventure and travel and you know, expose my children to different, you know, a different country as well. That was one of the big like deciders for me personally, was that my kids would, because I grew up really remote, really rural, really, you know, isolated, and my kids are going to have such a unique experience, and they're also going to an international school with kids from all over the world.
Well, and so, they're a mixed culture too.
There'll be other children that will be.
Their dad is Pakistani.
British. Like,
hello. that's a huge, you know, that's a huge ancestry to delve into.
Of
Pakistani blood.
Yeah. We're also that much closer to Pakistan, which we actually haven't visited yet as a family, but it looks like it could be more possible than from the UK at least.
Oh, it looks beautiful. I would love to go to Pakistan. It looks absolutely gorgeous. I've been to India twice and Sri Lanka three times, and I think Pakistan would be way be well I don't know, Sri Lanka's kind of like a
Well, it's, I think Sri Lanka is much more island. Much more tropical.
Yeah. Pakistan's got like the mountains.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
The only thing is that politically the situation is just really unsettled.
Oh,
you know, the government are going through massive turmoil, you know, at the moment. Oh. And so, yeah, we're just waiting for it to calm down, hopefully. I mean, we've been waiting for it to calm down for quite a while.
Awesome.
But it just seems to be getting worse. And then, you know, let's see. Hopefully, the right person gets into the job and, you know, sorts the country out. But, yeah, we definitely will visit at some stage. My mother-in-law's, she's visiting from Pakistan. She's been here for 3 months.
Right.
So that's been really nice. You know, in the UK, she has to share a bedroom with my daughter and we have one bathroom for all of us.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you know, we all have our own bathroom. We've got a bathroom for each bedroom. It's like, I mean, it's just, yeah, with two sinks in each bathroom. That's like six sinks.
My girls, my twins are in boarding.
Crazy.
And our home back in the US is, it's, you know, it's three bedrooms, but the twins have to share a room there in our home in the US. But when they come back to Saudi, they have their own rooms and they are like, I don't even care that they have to fly like 14-16 hours. They're just so happy to come and have their own room. Because in boarding, of course, they share like an actual so they're always like sharing, right? And thankfully they've been used to it because they're twins. I think other kids that are like only children really struggle when they get to boarding.
Oh, bless.
Because they're like, wait a second, I have to share an entire space with someone.
Yeah, no person. Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyways. Yeah. Well, so what is your hubby? What's his position?
So he works to do with climate and sustainability.
Okay.
So he's working with different projects with different banks and, you know, different parts of the Saudi ministries and all of that to try and help them to release their information about their, you know, emissions, which is a new thing that companies and, you know, everyone is being asked to work out.
Okay.
So he's helping them to kind of work out what their emissions are and then also helping them to create like plans about, you know, how to lower their emissions or, you know, so for example, big financing companies, they might, you know, have they might have different allocated money towards lots of different teams. So like one of them might be like oil, for example. So trying to work with them to like try and reduce, you know, their inputs and their emissions. So that's what he's doing. And he was doing that in London as well.
Mm-hmm.
London is kind of a little bit ahead of Saudi, I would say, in terms of, you know, what they've been doing with sustainability. And so, yeah, he was sort of not headhunted because I think he approached them originally. But then when they saw his experience and, you know, the level that he understood and he knew, they were keen to have him on board. So
cool.
He's just trying to get a team together. But, you know, it was really hard to get us all sorted and up and running that I said to my husband, you need to work with the HR before you start telling people to come and work here because it was, I don't know about your onboarding process, but it was a bit of a nightmare, especially because, you know, I was in the middle of it. I gave birth in the UK. So we were, you know, he was having to come back for that.
Mm.
But this whole system of like, go without your family and then call them. And oh my gosh, such a nightmare when you're heavily pregnant and you're about to give birth. That was not fun. And I've seen people online saying there are ways around that. But from most people's experience, I think that's been their experience that they've, that, you know, the whoever's got the job is gone and then sorted out and then called them, which can mean months away from family. It's really, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, my husband came 4 months before we did.
Yeah, wow.
But
yeah,
I was not, you know, like with a newborn or so.
No, and the timeline was just up in the air because like obviously a timeline with a baby has an end point, right? And the visa situation, it was like, it was just ongoing. There was no clear, you know, deadline or no clear dates, but there was a date for when I was going to give birth. So it was really complicated. We had to try and like really explain that to some of his coworkers as well, because I think a lot of them are used to families with a lot more support. But, you know, my husband was leaving me alone.
So,
we didn't have a nanny. I didn't have my mum living with us.
You know,
it was like, And I think they were, I think they very much saw it as like, oh, well, that's your wife's, you know, issue sort of thing. Like,
girl, you know, don't even get me started.
And it was a bit like, hang on, you've just, he has to come back.
You have a responsibility to this employee as a, yeah, about to be brand new dad. Like,
yeah, hello. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they were okay about it, but you could tell they didn't really get it, that they were like a bit more.
Well, if you didn't push, then they wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So anyway, that was a whole thing. But yeah, I think it's very similar. A lot of people have got different stories for their onboarding and situations. And
absolutely.
It sounds like they've never done it before.
Yeah,
these big companies, you think they would know what they were doing.
Yeah, and then like there's all these different companies. Like, so the company my husband works for, there is a hub for the company in Houston, Texas. And so that whole HR, there's an entire umbrella HR in the US. So that HR helps tremendously with the transition. Now, it's still wonkified and like a cluster. But it's, I'm sure, way more coordinated than some of these other companies that don't have.
Yeah, like, well, that sounds really good. Yeah, there was just nothing. I mean, my husband's company, you know, they do have a branch in the UK, but they're nothing to do with each other. So,
sometimes I feel that happens where it's like the right hand has nothing to do with, like, they don't know. Yeah. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. So sometimes lot of that does go on. And I think a lot of it depends on who your HR recruiter is too, like how experienced they are with dealing with relocating people. We were blessed with a really good recruiter, and she handled everything. Like, was on it, and I mean, it still took a long time.
I mean, I think if you've got a pretty straightforward case, I think it's quite easy. But like, I know people, like, for example, my husband, he studied in Pakistan. So his certificates, some of them were over there, and he didn't have them. And then they'd have to be attested there. And they were telling him that he should just go there and sort it out. And we were like, what? We're not going to go there and sort out a certificate. You know, that just seemed ludicrous. And they were like, okay, you have to get an agent. And then that was a whole faff. And I know people who got married in different countries, they had to go back to that country and get it attested and translated.
Oh,
and
my God.
So, I think it can be quite complicated if you've moved countries and you have different documents situated in different places. That can be a whole ball.
But it gives like a big opportunity for HR, the positions available for HR is needed, right? So that's a huge part of these companies is the hiring and the onboarding and, you know,
yes, 100%. And often I think, like, my husband's company, a lot of them are based in a different country. A lot of the HR team are in Jordan, I believe. So, you know, and they all said different things one minute and then a different thing the next.
Oh, yeah. Things changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was not helped by the fact that I was a hormonal, heavily pregnant woman who just wanted to know.
Oh, poor thing.
You know, what I'm doing. You know, because I was in a situation where I was thinking, do I start my daughter off in school? Because, you know, she hadn't started formal school yet. She was in like what you would call kindergarten or pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was her first proper year, but I knew we were moving. So I was thinking, do I start her and then move her? That's even more disruption, you know, but then obviously the longer it goes on, the more I want her to be in school. So it was,
She's been okay though.
Yeah, she was a bit challenging at the beginning, I won't lie, because we just had a baby, we're moving countries.
That's a lot of pains for her little.
And living on a compound, I think, is like every kid's dream. And she just got herself, you know, she would just be so tired by the end of the day because, you know, she'd want to go to every single thing and she'd want to go to the park every minute. I mean, even now she's like that, but we've kind of gotten into more of a routine of going to the park maybe for like half an hour. But at the beginning, it was like, we were just all figuring it out, all our stuff, you know, none of her toys were there yet. It was challenging at the beginning. Her behavior was really hard. But now she's fine, I would say.
Yeah.
She has the occasional meltdown. But yeah, living living here, there's so many things to do. She does get herself quite tired.
Have you been back to the UK yet?
No, we're going to go back in the summer.
Okay.
We get a flight home, all of us included, with my husband's company.
That'll
so
be
we'll
better
go home
weather.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm trying to escape this heat that I keep hearing about.
Yeah.
Which I have.
Perfect.
I've yet to experience. I mean, it's starting to get hotter. Like today, it feels really hot, but it's actually only 20 degrees.
I know. It was. I mean, up until now, I'm still wearing a light jacket outside. I'm a big baby.
Yeah.
I can't handle the cold. I would die in the UK.
Well, yeah, it's funny that their idea of cold here, they're all wearing like Russian winter coats.
Yes,
and it's
girl.
Like, and my daughter's not even wearing a jumper, like a sweater or anything. I just send her off to school in a t-shirt because I'm like, this is not cold, guys.
You'll see over time, you'll start to get warm-blooded.
My
too.
Perception will change.
You will,
yeah.
You will.
Well, we had hail the other day. I don't know if you had hail, but it was 27 degrees.
Wow.
And we had hail, and it made me had to learn about what hail was, because I was thinking it was like similar to snow, but it turns out hail is nothing like snow.
Ice. So. Yeah. So the weather has been really unusual. I don't think in the 10 years I've been here, we've seen what we've seen. Like these past few weeks have just been, I mean, the sun has finally come out and it's just been stunning, like yesterday and today.
Yeah.
But prior, for like the few weeks prior to yesterday and today, it's just been wild weather. Like definitely not usual.
I really enjoyed it personally.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was getting hotter and hotter a few weeks ago, and I thought, oh no, it's coming. And then suddenly it cooled right down, and we had some rain, and we had hail, and I was thinking, yes, good. Like, I'm not ready for this heat that's going to come. And people keep talking about it. It's just like, I just wanted to come and get it over with now, because like we've lived here since October. The weather's been lovely,
right?
And I'm currently, as we're talking, sat by the pool. There's a nice breeze. I'm
it's
sat
gorgeous.
Under a tree.
Yeah.
And like people are telling me I won't be able to do that in like a month.
No, you won't.
So I'm just like thinking, I can't imagine it. I really can't imagine what it's going to be like when it's so hot.
Yeah, it's actually worse like in August and
can't
September.
Imagine it.
Like August, September, I think are August.
Yeah,
September.
Oh, no.
Is actually, I think, the peak of it, like the worst of the humidity. And you guys are in Riyadh, right? So, like, we're actually by the ocean, at least.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah.
Let's
see. I'm not prepared. I'm an English rose. So I think I'll just wilt.
I think so.
I'm already thinking this is bordering on too hot for me right now.
So, you guys have no hired help at this point?
No, we don't. Our compound is really expensive, so I think my plan for going forward is to live in a cheaper compound and then maybe have some more help. But probably, I'm not sure how I feel about childcare at this point, because I've seen a lot of nannies here, and they're only a handful that I really would want to spend time with my kids.
Sure.
The rest, I'm kind of thinking like, no, I'd rather just give someone else all the other things to do. Like, my dream would be have a driver who cooks and cleans. And that, like, that would be my dream.
Oh, yeah.
But right now we've got a cleaner who comes once a week, and that's it. So I think hopefully, we're going to live in a cheaper place and we might be able to afford some more help. Because, it seems pretty nice. My friends who've got, like, full-time maids, it seems pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a huge help. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
The stuff that I'm freed up to do because I have someone that does monotonous cleaning. And I mean, again, it's me and my husband. So he only comes once a week for us, but it is such a huge help.
Yes. No, definitely. Yeah. Because I was thinking originally that I wouldn't have enough things for them to do. And then I've been looking around the house going, no, I'm pretty sure I could fill their time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm in the process of major brainstorming. I want to shift our dining room and our front. We have like a little front room, which is basically our office space, but it's so small and a bit crowded. And I do remote work. And my husband uses his office all the time. So like, anyways, I'm and these homes,
you're gonna redo
the way
it
they're
all.
Built, like they're very, the hallways are very narrow. And so I have like this kind of massive dining room table, and I'm like, how would I switch this to the front room?
Yes.
I'm like,
yes. Do you want someone to go through it with you? and talk it through.
Oh, I have it all planned out in my head.
Yeah.
It's just going to
be. Oh, good.
Yeah. And it's like, it shouldn't be this difficult to move for it. Because I always do that. My husband would come home, the whole house would be rearranged. Like,
yeah,
especially when it's like full moons and like new moons, like I kind of like just need to shift like energy and like yes. create like a different like feng shui. And he's like, he just laughs at me. I used to do it too when I was pregnant. He'd get so mad at me. He'd be like, why did you move that whole dresser by yourself? Like, you're pregnant.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. We're fine.
But sometimes things just bother you. Yeah, I totally get you. We can't really move much of our furniture in the compound apartment. It's like it all seems to be in the only place it can be in.
Yeah. Yeah, these ones too, there's not really much different you can do.
No.
There's different models in our compound, like there's different designs. But we're in
yes.
the townhome style.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, they could use a lot of work. Like when we go to Bahrain and I see compounds and how nice like they can be, and some of them have like private like pools, and they're like their flat has yes. their own little private pool. I'm like, oh, heck yeah!
I know.
And there's I've been looking quite, at compounds now. Quite a few Brits like that work for this company have
yeah.
chosen to just move and get off the company compound here in Saudi and actually just move to Bahrain.
For that a little bit more luxury.
For that, the alcohol availability and the ability to go out, it's a
different yes, life. Yes.
And if they don't have kids, or even if they do have kids, there's better selection, I think, of British schools over there than there are here. So.
Oh really? Yeah. I don't know. We're not too close to Bahrain, but we're going to Bahrain actually. For the week for Eid holiday, and
oh,
I have
great.
Been to Bahrain once before, but yeah, I didn't really get to see what life would be like there in comparison to living here. But yeah, it's interesting. I've been looking at all of the compounds because we want to move next year, and I'm looking at all of them. Some of them are ludicrously expensive.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like hard to tell. Some of them, like the facilities are obviously the draw, but then the accommodation is, you know, we're living in by far the best accommodation here that I've seen.
Mm.
But again, I actually want to go cheaper because I do want, you know, to have a bit more money. We're here to save money ultimately as well.
Of course.
So, yeah. So it's interesting to look at them all and see the pluses, the minuses, you know, of each one, because they're all very different.
Mm.
They're all very different. Like they've all got different personalities and different communities.
Mm.
So yeah, and this is a life I never even knew existed, because when we were looking at, I think we looked at first at living in Dubai, and then it turned out that the job was actually not in Dubai, it was in Saudi. And I really was like, oh, I wanted to live in Dubai. But then the idea of a compound, especially with such small kids, I was like, that seems really ideal, because my dream is always just to be to walk everywhere, you know, that I didn't have to get a car or be reliant on that. So for me, it was like, when I saw these compounds, I thought, hang on, that looks so easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's kind of sold me. You know, we've got our own pool. I'm currently sat by the pool and there's like two people in it, and it's massive. So, yeah, we're definitely very lucky. I could not have this lifestyle in London.
No.
That's for sure.
I know. Yeah, we have like a full-blown like golf course and like.
Like
we're like a beach compound too, right? So
yes, like, you have a beach.
That's like very,
I know,
very clickbait for a lot of people, and like that attracts a lot of people, is the fact that we're basically
yes.
like a beach neighborhood, which would cost millions if we were in the US.
Of course, so. Yeah. Of course, yeah. It is. We're insanely lucky.
It's a blessed life for sure.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Great. Awesome. Well, if you had advice for anybody, what would you say if they were contemplating moving? Or is there any other interesting perspective you have? I mean, I know as a Muslim, it's got to be a whole different experience.
Yeah, all my Muslim friends were like so excited and thrilled for me. And they were like, I want to move there. And then all my non-Muslim friends were like, what are you doing? So I definitely got two very different reactions.
Wow.
But my advice would be, I think, like, go definitely if you've been offered a job, or, you know, go and see if you can go for a week. Because for me, we went to visit exactly this time last year. And I was really not keen on moving at all. But then when we came to the visit, we looked at the compounds, we spoke with other, I think speaking with other people from where you're from, you know, speaking to other British people for me, or speaking to, you know, other expats. And they were the ones that kind of, you know, really made me change my perception. Because I kind of just imagined that the only people that would move here to Saudi would be Muslim. But there are, like, my compound is like 90% non-Muslim.
Right.
And, you know, I don't even see any Saudis, which is a massive shame, really. But unless I leave the compound, you know, even at my daughter's school, there aren't many Saudis. So it's a very different life to what I actually imagined.
Right.
But also, I think, like, go online. That's how I found your podcast. Follow people who live here. If you're interested, or if you have like a genuine job opportunity, like, look at people who already live here and see, like, yeah, that life's for you. Because I know I found you through I think it was Frankie Hilton who I followed for a while, because I wanted to see what life was actually like for people.
Oh, and, wait, you know, let me stop you there. Frankie Hilton's lifestyle is, like, yes, so I love following her.
I know, so I know.
Like,
she lives the dream.
This is not, I'm telling you, like, what she does in Riyadh over there is so different, yes, from my life here in Dammam. Like, so different.
And every single expat I meet, they all have followed her at the beginning of their journey here. They, like, she, yes, she is doing amazing PR for Saudi. She should be employed.
She is, but, like, yeah, glamour at, like, I just, yeah, like, woo, yeah, girl. It is, like, my day is not like her at all. Like, she's got, like, she rotates the spas and the salons,
I know,
and the restaurants.
Her daughter goes to school here, and I'm, like, literally just got out of bed, and she looks like she's been to the spa already. She's very glamorous. She's living the dream.
Her husband must already know, like, my wife needs, like, a big budget, because she's, like, out there doing her thing. I bet you eventually she'll just be sponsored by all these different businesses anyway.
She will. I'm sure she will. She must be doing good business for them.
she's so great. Love you, Frankie.
Everyone follows her.
Love you, Frankie. Oh my God. She's,
yeah, fabulous. So follow people. There are loads of people, like, for every compound, just type. There's not a lot of information out there online, but when you start digging, you find like there's quite a few people who are sharing content. And yeah, just get to see what life,
true,
what life, like, you know, Instagram can be a great,
it's,
thing.
It's
for
such a huge
you.
Difference from when I came here. The online, yeah, presence has been ramped up.
I can imagine, yeah.
So
and listen to podcasts like yours, because I literally, you know, I love podcasts, and when I listen to you, and I was thinking, right, I can do this. Other women have done this. I'm a Muslim. Like, if right. they can do this, I can
of
do
course.
This. Do you know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
I'm going to have to go and pick up my daughter, unfortunately. I'm walking back.
Yeah, we are at the end. I really appreciate your time and your perspective.
Thank you so much for talking with
yes,
me.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate your support.
I hope something I said was useful.
It will be. Again, it's all, you know, it's all for somebody.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks, Emma.
But yes, thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Bye.